looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Rolls podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food. Well, that was not a good day yesterday. Long journey up to Stoke City, and it felt even longer on the way back. 4-0 defeat at the Bet365 Stadium, always be known as the Britannia today, but we got well and truly stoked yesterday. And to help me talk through it, who is also with me, it's Matt Lansley.
It's Groundhog Day again with Reading SC. another away trip, it's like you said, wasn't it? After Rotherham, we're going to have more games like this, and we've had one. We've had another.
We most certainly have, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was dreadful yesterday. You can't dress it up in any way. There was nothing positive to take out of that. We still sit 14th in the league. We're still 11 points off the relegation zones, but I'm not going to gloss it up and say everything's perfect, because it wasn't. We now have a minus 17 goal difference away from home. Yes, you did hear that correctly.
That was a correct stat, yeah. 28 conceded in 15 as well. It's
almost two a game.
Nearly two a game. It's a big problem. It's a very big problem for Reading at the moment.
It's a massive issue, isn't it? And Paul Ince kind of like touched on that after the match, saying if the home form drops off slightly, where are we going to go? But let's get into the good, the bad, and the injured. Well, I'm going to wrap this up quickly with me on this one. The good, nothing. The bad,
really?
Everything. Injured. Well, there's a few more, isn't there, Matt? Kind of like updates on Andy Carroll as well, isn't there?
Yeah, Carroll, you know, he wasn't in the squad yesterday. And I think everyone was hoping he might have been back. Paul Lint seemed to be quite upbeat about the injury situation, saying I think two of the three injured were back in training earlier in the week. But Carroll out for a couple of weeks with his ankle. You know, they're always difficult ones, sprained ankles, because I think he rolled it in the QPR game. But a couple of weeks for him, Saar, a couple of weeks, maybe not such a bad thing with obviously the performances Saar has had. But yeah, it's a quick good, the bad, and the injured this week, because like you said, I don't think actually no positive. We left Stoke and we don't have to play there again this season. Who wants to go back there? It was bitter yesterday, absolutely bitter.
It was fine until half time, and then it just kicked into absolute freezing.
The fog rolled in, and
wasn't there more fog? Not more fog?
I couldn't see the other side of the pitch, to be honest. I don't know why it wasn't called off at half time. It was unbelievable.
Exactly. I couldn't see anything. No, it's a disgrace. Referee, EFL biased against us.
Reading Fulham all those years back, that was worse at half time. That was worse, you know. And they called that off, and they didn't yesterday. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Sadly, the weather did not save us from an absolute pummeling yesterday. So I'm going to get onto some questions that we've been sent yesterday. Rants from people listening to the podcast and on Twitter. From Andrew Butcher, when did we last have a decent defence? Even under Stam, we couldn't defend. Well, we've looked this up, haven't we, Matt? For the last good defence.
Realistically, I think, you know, and again, people might look at this and just say you're taking an easy route out of this. But I mean, the last good defence we probably had was McDermott. Well, even I was trying to think of good defences after that, you know, even Pauno's first season when we finished seventh, we still conceded, I think, 56 that season. The season where we finished with Bowen, where things were looking slightly better again, it was around the 55, 56 goals conceded mark. We just don't have good defences, seemingly, at the moment. And even under Stam, you know, when we got to the playoffs, we conceded a heap of goals that season. It's a depressing kind of thing. I kind of think with defences, if you're probably in and around the 50 conceded mark, probably 50 to 52, you could probably say it's a good defence. But you know, we've not touched those heights for many a year, seemingly. It's depressing. So sorry to depress you with that one, Andrew. It's been a long time.
So yeah, I mean, can't imagine that. Steve Coppell in a 106 season only conceding 31 goals.
32.
That's nuts, isn't it?
It's crazy. You'll never see that again. You know, Burnley are nearly at 32 already, and you know everyone's talking about how good they are this, and they are brilliant, that Burnley team. But 32 goals in a season is, it's crazy.
It is, yeah. And Brian McDermott with 41. But let's get on to Thomas Hill's question here. Statement, rant. I'm not quite sure. It's a mixture of everything, which is understandable. Every player looks like they couldn't give two fucks and that we've already avoided relegation. At least Rotherham, they seem to show little motion. Okay. Lack of effort all round and disgraceful showing. We'll still be going to Sunderland, though. I mean, that is...
That is football fan summed up, because I can completely empathize with that myself, you know.
And we'll both be going to Sunderland as well, won't we? So
sadly, yeah. So somebody find us a mental institute or someone to check our mental well-being, please, because yeah, seemingly there's screws loose and many of them.
I mean, it was horrendous yesterday, and I see what he says about kind of emotion after the Rotherham game. He was just completely and utterly flat yesterday, wasn't it? There was just nothing there at all. It was evident from very, very early. It was not surprising. I mean, even before it was 1-0, I think we both agreed that this could be 3-0. And we were underestimated, didn't we?
No, yeah, we did underestimate it in the end. Yeah. It was but it was clear from minute one, I think to say that you know, a lack of effort has been a sum up of this season under it, I think that's completely unfair on the team as a whole, because I think one thing, and Ince kind of pointed it out after this game, you know, the minimum he expects is maximum effort, you know, and for teams to compete, and they just did not yesterday. And he's completely right. You know, yesterday it was from minute one, Stoke were first to every second ball. They were closing us down quickly. They penned us in essentially on our 18 yard box, and we just couldn't get out. You know, like, and you've got to give credit to Stoke there, but with how they set up and how they pressed, but yesterday it was just whether they had an eye on Manchester United next week. You know, it's so frustrating that, you know, some players might have had an eye on that, because, you know, we're not safe yet. You know, we're not clear of relegation. You can't be looking at FA Cup ties against Man United or, you know, a good weekend away, you know, up there when we've still got to get points on the board, you know, like, because it doesn't take too many losses after this, and, you know, we'll be, you know, looking over our shoulders again. But yeah, yesterday it was just, you know, there's no painting up yesterday. There was effort, desire was just very much lacking, and it's sad to kind of see that sort of performance, because it's not really been a hallmark of us under Ince.
No, you're right. I would agree overall. We definitely haven't been like that. And especially at home, away, as the stats we just pointed out, we've been pretty abysmal.
It's a different thing now, away from home.
Yeah. So Jack Headley's also got in contact with us, saying, new manager at the end of the season, Paul Ince isn't going to take us up to the top six. Martin Butler, FC. Now, I don't think that's actually the Martin Butler. I mean, if you want to verify your actual name and address and show us your passport picture, that would be interesting. But we know, we'll take it at face value. I would bite your hand off at the start of the season if you said we'd be 14th in January at the start of the season. But with the squad we have now, would you agree that Paul Ince is out of his depth? I believe he is not good enough. Thing is, though, Martin Butler, I don't think the squad's actually very good at all. I think repeatedly we're showing that this team is not a good team. So I'm not sure about that point. Paul Ince, is he going to be the one who's going to take us to the glory of, like, to the top of the Premier League? Not top of the Premier League. No, he's not going to do that. Top of the Championship.
That would be a turn up for the books.
Whoa, that would be. Yeah, that would be amazing. I don't think that's a realistic goal. Yeah, the Championship. No, I'm not sure that. I don't think that is probably going to be the case. But is he the right manager for what he's done since he's come in? You've got to say we're in a better position than when actually he took over. The substitutions and tactics sometimes are baffling. I mean, what do you think on that, Matt?
Yeah, like, I think, you know, Ince is going to start to come in for a lot of stick almost because of, you know, how I say how well he's done so far. You know, he, like, everyone had us nailed on for relegation pre-season, you know, and even when we got the squad together, you know, everyone was talking about, you know, this is literally offcuts from other people's teams. It was free transfers, it was, you know, loans for no money, you know, on very favorable terms with their parent club. You know, I agree with you. I don't think this is a very good championship side. You know, they've proven this time and time again. You know, it's like quite a bit of the defense, when you look at it realistically, is still the defense that we actually had last season, you know, which was one of the worst defenses in EFL history, let alone championship history, you know, and they were, you know, very lucky to stay up with that defense last year, you know, so I don't think it's that good of a team. You know, in reality, I'd be interested to hear kind of where people think the good parts in this team are. But
this isn't a question. Can we just take a moment to talk about Baba Rahman and his performance?
We have to.
Oh, it's just offering nothing. I think his confidence has gone as well, but he's just not good enough. No. The situation is just terrible. Yesterday, I don't know what was going on there at all. It just added nothing. It was just horrendous. He was not the only one. There was lots of terrible performances yesterday, but he's doing it on a consistent basis, and he's just a major concern for me in the left-back position as a whole. I mean, we could play Guinness Walker there and give him a go. I don't see why we wouldn't now, because Baba Rahman's offering nothing.
I think the thing with Rahman is that you just get nothing added to your team when you play him. You know, he's not good defensively. He's shocking defensively, actually. He's not good going forwards. He's not really good with the ball at his feet. There's nothing that he adds, you know, and when you've got a player that adds nothing to your team, you might as well be playing with 10 men if you're going to play him. You know, at least with Guinness Walker, yes, he's got a lot of pitfalls. You know, he's not the best defensively. You know, I'm not trying to paint Guinness Walker up to be the saviour, you know, of our defence, but at least with him, you know, you're actually going to get something productive going forwards, you know, so it's much better actually playing Guinness Walker there, because then at least you know you're going to get something, and you're probably not losing anything defensively, because Rahman is just a shit show defensively anyway. So, you know, if you play Walker there, Guinness Walker, you're actually going to get something, you know, rather than Rahman, who's, you know, useless.
No,
in all honesty.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. Let's do this other question from Max, actually, and there's a lot of points here which are interesting. Why do we insist on playing five at the back? Why do we play his players out of position? Why does he not fancy starting Joe and Aziz? Why does he keep playing players who consistently don't play well? Who is our big character that's going to pull us out of a bad situation and galvanize us? There's a lot to cover there, but those are concerning issues. I mean, I do... This is the problem. I don't really understand the plan, and we did show something different yesterday tactically, but obviously it was a complete fail. But was that down to the tactics? Was that down to all the players playing abysmally? What do you think?
Well, the thing that I don't really understand, and it's kind of whenever we play, I don't think we're going to go away from a five at the back, you know, and to be honest, when you're so bad defensively, I think it'd be kind of suicide to go away from five at the back, because that's probably your best chance of actually stemming goals, you know, and actually just building a solid defensive footing. You could say, yes, it's gone pretty poorly so far, but the issue comes when you play a three in the midfield in front of them, because in that midfield, you've got Hendrick, Loom and Fauna, if you play those three there, and none of them are creative. None of them are actually giving you really anything going forwards. None of them are actually that good going forwards. You know, Hendrick's got three goals this season, you know, two long shot pop shots, and, you know, one from 1 yard. Fauna has only got one goal, you know, again, a shot from 25 yards, and Loom, one goal with a header. You know, they're not actually going to give you anything going forwards. They're not going to create anything. And when you're not actually creating anything, when you've got three in the midfield, you know, you're giving yourself a massive problem, because now you're just leaving, you know, as it was yesterday, Mate and Ince up top, who just get no service and just get nothing to feed off of. And it doesn't matter if you play Zhao up there, you know, because Zhao's not going to do any better. If you put Carroll up there, he's going to do nothing better, because the ball's not going to get to them enough to actually do something. you know, I mean, we discussed it on the way home. I mean, I could probably count on one hand how many touches Mate had yesterday, you know, and it's really, really concerning that, like, if you're going to play with those three in midfield, you've got to have someone creative there. And we just don't have that. You know, we don't have someone that's going to be able to create in that midfield, you know, be able to spread the ball out wide or, you know, pick out a pass into feet into, you know, Zhao or Mate, Carroll, whoever plays up top. It's just not going to happen, you know. So realistically, I think the best thing you can do is try and play Ince as a number 10 role behind two strikers. And then at least you've got a link there into Ince, rather than playing Ince as a second striker almost, you know, because even if he plays as a second striker, he's probably not going to get more than 10 goals a season, you know? So like, I just don't really see what putting Ince in that second striker role is really, really going to do. And then it just creates a really frustrating situation. I mean, Mate must have been punching walls by the time he came off. Zhao would be, Carroll would be, anyone you play there would be.
Yaku Mate touched the ball 18 times yesterday.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Oh, my word. Jesus. Yeah, it is.
18 times. Yeah.
And I think three or four of them was probably when he had that one pop shot in the first half, which, you know, was pretty much all he had all game.
If there was any one player who came off the pitch and I thought, yeah, was he amazing? No, not at all. But did he keep going and did he keep trying to whenever he got the ball? I think it probably was Mate. But I mean, that's really, that's stretching a point, isn't it? I'm trying to find a positive in a very negative situation.
We found a positive from someone who touched the ball 18 times.
Exactly.
That was the type of game it was yesterday.
It was so bad. So, yeah, we got a couple more questions here from Dean Bennett. What does Mbenge have to do to start a game? He signed up to a new deal saying how delighted he was that he chose to keep developing at Reading, but then doesn't pick him. Very odd. And why does it never take any responsibility of results? The way he sets us up, etc., isn't helping the team or the team to succeed. He keeps chucking the players under the bus. And he carries on saying, if I was a player and the manager kept doing that to me, I wouldn't want to play for them, basically. It's an interesting way with the way he deals with the players, isn't it? I mean, and Mbenge, surely he's got to play at some point. I mean, defensively, we've let in 6 goals in the last 2 games. And one thing we massively lack is pace, and he's got pace. Will he make a mistake? Mm. Yeah, he might. He definitely might make a mistake. I mean, he's shown like a real tendency to give away penalties, but I still would like to see him playing.
No, likewise, you know, and I really think, you know, with Mbenge, whether or not he might be able to, or we might be able to shuffle around the back four to move Yeardon back out to, you know, right wing back, so he's not playing centre back, because I think, you know, one player that, and one person that's probably got on the radar on, you know, the criticism, you know, scale this season is probably Yeardon, because he's not really doing actually a lot right at the moment. And yesterday was, you know, it was probably one of his worst performances. There was mistakes all over the place. But at the end of the day, he's being played out of position. You know, he's not a natural centre back. You know, we've got to probably move him back to that right wing back slot, you know. And like, yes, we've been playing Hoylett there, but then if you take Hoylett out of that right wing back, I mean, he played, you know, some of last season at a number 10 role. You know, we know he can play on the wing, and it just gives you another option kind of up the pitch rather than moving one of your attacking options into a defensive position. You know, and I'm not slating Hoylett for this season, because I think he's actually done a very good job where he's been and kind of the role that he's been asked to do. But, you know, with Mbenge, you know, I think that question, that comment has kind of hit the nail on the head with him, you know, because it's like, since he signed a contract, he's not actually started, you know, like, yes, there's only been a few games since, but, you know, he's probably been one of the brighter sparks in, you know, a subpar defence so far this year. Yes, he's had instances which you look at and you think he's got to sharpen up his game there. He can't be making those sorts of mistakes, but, you know, he's 21 at the end of the day. You know, he's a really good talent, you know, and maybe it wouldn't have made a difference yesterday. I don't know. But you know, I think certainly going forward, you know, we've got a defence that's leaking goals at the moment. You've got to try and do something, you know, to change that going forwards, and bringing Mbenge in could be that option.
Yeah, no, I think it's something that we should do. And we will be talking about the goals. We just want to get these questions out, because it's good to have like different thoughts from people listening, Reading FC fans. So let's give this a little bit of balance here, because I think it's important as well. And this is from Charlie Ness. Such a reactionary fan base. One week, everybody loves Ince. Then today, everybody wants him out. Don't get me wrong. I'm skeptical. Skeptical about how far he can take us in the future. But people at this club are so short-tempered with him. I assume he means fans, not the club. But, yeah, I mean, let's look at where we are. As I've mentioned probably before, we're 14th in the league. We're 11 points clear. Do I think that we could get pulled back into a relegation battle? Yes, 100%. That could happen. But would I have taken this scenario at the start of the season? Yes, I also would have as well. But we're just off the back of the QPR match when we conceded two goals when we 2-0 up and we've lost 4-0. And it really could have been 6 or 7 yesterday to a team that have been a really poor Stoke City. But I do understand your point overall there, Charlie. I think the chances of Paul Ince leaving, getting the sack, are very remote at the moment. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, you know, it would take quite a lot for you know, Ince to actually get sacked from here. And even for us to get, I think, dragged back into a relegation scrap, you know, because you look at the teams at the bottom and really the points we've accrued so far, you know, 37 points. With the teams at the bottom, you know, earlier in the season, they were all averaging above a point a game. We're thinking you might actually need 50, 52 points this season to stay up. That's dropped back down again to a point a game, you know, now. So it's now looking like 46, 48 points might be a barrier. So you're looking at, you know, 3 or 4 more wins in 18 games that we need, you know, which you'd certainly hope, you know, a team would be able to do that. And if they don't do that, then quite frankly, you know, you'd say they deserve to go down. But you know, like with where we are at the moment, nobody would have predicted, you know, us to be this high so far this season. And you know, for kind of all the criticism that Ince gets from this fan base, like, is his football the best style of football? No. You know, is he the best tactician in the world? Of course he's not. But realistically, we were never going to get a manager who was the next Pep Guardiola, you know, in the summer. You know, Ince, he kept us up last season. He's done a very good job this season by all accounts to actually get the points on the board that he's got at the moment. And like I say, he's kind of become a bit of kind of a victim of kind of the where we are now in the table, because we're 11 points away from relegation. You know, we're only you know, about 5 points off the playoffs, and people then naturally look up the table when you start slipping away from the top of the table. You start asking questions about the manager. But you know, this is the manager that is, you know, put us in this position with a team that really isn't that good. You know, he's done a, I think, more than a good job so far. And like you said, whether the fan base is reactionary or not, you know, it's I guess most fan bases would probably be the same in this position. But realistically, has he done a good job this season? Well, yeah, you know, like I think most of us expected us to be the Wigan of this season so far, you know, cut adrift already, you know, or Cardiff, you know, that are down there. I'd much rather be in our position than Cardiff right now, you know. So like, I think you've got to have in this situation. Like, you might not be the biggest fan of Ince or his tactics, his substitutions, his style of football, what he says in the media, but at the end of the day, he's brought a very weak side within, you know, touching distance of safety this season. That was the goal. You know, that was the one goal for us, stay up this season by whatever means possible. Points over performances this season. And so far, you know, it's worked. You know, like, I just hope we can get out of this same little rut that we're in at the moment, and just get a few more wins on the board, just settle the relegation nerves. And then you can just, you know, then you can start looking forwards a bit more and maybe even just looking at the summer, you know, to start the rebuild project.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say one thing as well. I totally understand why fans and reaction to it is because people give a shit, don't they? They really do care about it. It's in their DNA. And the support yesterday from the away end was really backing the team. It was only when it went at 3-0, and we did leave it 3-0 because it's a long journey back, and it was fucking freezing, and we just decided we wanted to get back. It was not going to get
any we've seen more than enough 3-4-0s to, like, staying to the end does not make you feel any better.
Fair play to you. No, there's no, like, you know, badge of honour here for anyone, is there, to leave early or stay. So it's just what you want to do, isn't it? So we've been trying to avoid this. But now we're going to have to do it, Matt. We're going to have to go through all four of those absolutely horrendous goals that we conceded yesterday. So let's start with the first one. Tom Holmes plays a pass to Yudem on the right-hand side. I think it's the fifth minute or so. And you think, first of all, why is he really passing to Yudem there? He's the Stoke player's closing down right on him. He could have passed it forward. There was quite a lot of times in that match when Holmes was, who did not have a good game yesterday, just hoofed the ball forward, basically. And if we'd have done that, maybe we would have got out of that situation. But after Yudem gets the ball, it's just a disaster zone, isn't it?
Well, he passed it to him twice, you know, Holmes. Like the first one should have been, you know, the warning sign anyway with how he was closed down. But then Yudem passes back to Holmes and he decides to pass back to Yudem. Like, why? Like, and Ince mentioned it after the game, you know, individual decision making was just baffling at times yesterday. And it's just one of them. And yeah, like, I mean, Yudem, he's too weak there. It's never going to be a foul. You know, what he's, you know, I can understand kind of what he's trying to do there because he can feel the pressure there and he can feel he's in a bad situation. He's trying to win a soft free kick, but I mean, it's never a free kick. You know, you've got to be stronger there if you're Yudem. You know, either just try and get it back to Lumley to lump it up the field. You know, whatever you do there, you've just got to stop Stoke from getting the ball. If you need to, just put it out play for a throw-in. You know, at that point, just do something. Do not just, you know, fall over and crumble under the ball and under, you know, the tiniest bit of pressure to give them the ball in, you know, a good position there. You know, it's dreadful on all accounts, really, from Holmes, from the original decision making, and Yudem, you know, for actually doing it. But then, you know, from there, Holmes has got the difficulty of having, you know, a 2-on-1. Who do you mark? Who do you try and do you try and close down? Do you step off to try and stop the you know, ball across? He doesn't really do either. And then it comes to Smallbone, who, you know, has a relatively good shot. There's not really that much power on it. It's just another one of those that I know we differ about what we think about Lumley, but it's another one which, you know, it's not in the corner, like from range. Could Lumley do better? Maybe, you know, possibly. Depends on your point of view. But it just summed up the first 15, 20 minutes that did for Reading, because that wasn't the first time that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we can... I don't think I would blame Lumley there for that goal. I think he's been just put in a really bad position. But that's fair enough, Matt. We all see it differently, don't we? Somehow, we managed to get to halftime and it's only 1-0. It wasn't like constant shot after shot and saves from like Lumley, but we just didn't get out, did we? I mean, we had 61% possession yesterday, but at absolutely no point did I feel that we had pressure for more than a minute. It nothing came from it. And Stoke had multiple chances when they should have scored. The closest they probably came in the first half was from Brown when it deflects just over the bar. And you're thinking, if we can get into halftime at 1-0, some miracle might happen. You never know. You've seen it so many times in football matches. You don't know. And Mate has a late chance. And you think, okay, he couldn't do much more there. He's got a good, powerful shot away, hasn't he? But the goalkeeper should save that.
Yeah, it's straight down. It's just straight at him. Like, you know, so there's no kind of, you know, it's not either side. It's a save that, you know, a keeper, he doesn't even really need to put his hands up, does he? If he doesn't put his hands up, it's going to whack him in the face and he's still saved anyway. So, you know, but I mean, it was really the only that and a free kick actually, which I think just went plumb middle into the wall, I think, from Ince. You know,
I didn't even want to mention that because that was just pointless, isn't it? Yeah.
That was literally all we had in the first half, I think. And it was probably two of the moments that we actually ventured out of our half. I'm gobsmacked we actually had 61% possession because it did not feel like
it. They just kept
on
battering us down both sides, basically, and predominantly down our left-hand side. I looked at a heat map after the game, and there's a whole heat map just around the edge of our, right outside the front of our edge of our penalty area. And ours is nowhere near theirs. It's just constantly back, just defensively.
And it's how it felt, you know. Like I said at the start, it was just seemingly constant pressure. It was just nonstop, and you got to give Stoke credit where credit's due for that. You know, they came out, they were fired up for a team that's only won three at home before yesterday. You know, they were the ones that, you know, they imposed themselves at home, which you want to see a team do if you're at home. But I mean, we dealt with it abysmally. Time after time.
It was abysmal. And team under so much pressure to play like that. It was just it was dreadful, wasn't it? So we get into the second half. It's the 57th minute. Somehow this goal's been given to Campbell. Tom Holmes, another poor pass, straight into the Stoke City midfield. Then the shot comes in from Campbell, and that's got to be an own goal from Holmes, hasn't it, really?
No, I don't think it's going to be an own goal, because I think, you know, Lumley's probably going to comfortably say that, because it's a pretty feeble shot, really.
But it was Holmes, a header of Tom Holmes.
Oh, yeah, but it was a deflection. Yeah, it was a deflection, but it's always going to go down as the striker's goal, that, you know. But, like, you know, Holmes, again, like, he just had one of those games which, as a defender, you're just looking at and you're just thinking, please just let this stop at some point. And, you know, again, he got taken off after, you know, when the quadruple substitution came up, quite rightfully so, because he was dreadful, you know. But, like, I don't really know why he's trying to pass into the midfield there. He's not put any pace on it to get to Hendrick, and Hendrick has seemingly got, you know, Baker right on his shoulder, because he doesn't even really need to move that much to actually get the ball, you know. So what Holmes is seeing there, I don't know, you know. And if you're going to at least try a pass like that to a player that's, you know, marked in the midfield, like, I mean, you know, you've got to make passes into the midfield like that at times, because you've got to try and be progressive. But if you're going to do that, you've at least got to, you know, put some pace on it. And he's just, you know, passed it like he's passing it around the back five, you know, into midfield, into a dangerous area. You know, like, it's just a dreadful pass on all fronts. And yeah, then it, you know, it's just, again, it's like, it's, we've seen a goal like this so many times, just the back three just sitting off, no one getting pressure to the player, shot comes in, gets a bit lucky with the deflection, but, you know, then again, you know, Lumley doesn't really have to move much to save it, and it still goes in, you know. So
yeah, number three. Let's get through these. Let's rail through these. Let's just get these done, Matt. Because, like, oh, it's just horrible, isn't it? It's like another cross into the box. T-Max gets caught out, and Brown scores his goal. And that's 3-0, isn't it?
It's 3-0. And, I mean, credit where credit's due again. Great ball in from Stoke. But, I mean, T-Max's got to do something. You cannot be leaving the ball in that situation when you've got a player behind you. You know, like because if you're trying to get the ball there to try and clear it, and if it ends in your net, you know it's ending in the net anyway, because you've got Brown behind you who's got to tap in anyway, as he showed. You've got to be getting something on that, whether it's a header over the bar, just, you know, a knee to clear it away, a foot to clear it away. Whatever you do, you cannot let that go past you in that situation. You know, you're then just hoping and praying that somebody's looking over you to save your blushes there if you're Tom McIntyre. And it's just dreadful, you know. Again, the decision making, it's just horrid. Absolutely horrid.
Yeah, basically. Goal number four, Josh Laurent has a shot and kind of deflects off Dwight Gayle. 4-0.
Kind of.
Sorry?
It was a massive deflection off Dwight Gayle.
It was. You know, it's whatever, isn't it? Now, really, we've reached that point.
It's an interesting one, though, for Dwight Gayle. He was, I think... And again, this isn't going to cheer up any Reading fans, but I think this was his 51st game without a goal. 51st game without a goal, like, consecutively, that he's played. And then to get a goal like that, you know, that's the kind of goal which you want to end a goal drought, right? You know, like a pot shot, which you have absolutely no idea, like, what has hit you, what has gone on, and you've got a goal like that, you know. I found that quite amusing, and it just, like... Cherry on the cake for, you know, 4-0 and a dismal away performance, you know, having a goal for someone who hasn't scored in so many games like that, in a that sort of fashion. It's just like, well, that's the perfect way to finish off a game like that, you know. It's
fair play to Stoke. They absolutely dominated it from the first minute, completely served to win. Should have been 6 or 7. They were the only team who actually really turned up, weren't they? There's no excuses. Nothing unlucky about it for us in any way or form. They were just way better than us on the day.
Oddly, though, I don't think they actually played that well, Stoke.
I know, but that's even more depressing.
Yeah,
though,
they didn't even play that well. You know, did 4-0.
We gifted them 3 goals at least.
Yeah, no, we did. You know, and it's like
you still got to take them.
you still got to take them, yeah. But like Cardinal Sinners, you know, you're away to a team with such a poor home record, and you just gift them that first goal. You know, that is just dreadful. You know, that first goal, you cannot be gifting a team that is in such a bad run of form such an easy goal. You know, that is just, you know, that's inexcusable. And then again in the second half to do the exact same for a second, it's just dreadful. It's like, you know, you think back to seasons gone by, right, when we've, you know, had a, you know, a hideously long list of comical goals, you know, from the eras of Pauno and what was his name, Clement, just and the like, Gomez. 10 years,
really, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's 10 years.
it's Reading FC seemingly, but I mean, I long for a season where we can actually just be good away from home, because it seemingly, like we talked about at the start, where we had a good, when was the last time we had a good defense? I mean, when was the last time we had a good away record? You know, we're just so bad away from home.
Yeah, it's a long, long time ago. It's probably the last time we had a good away record, I had hair. So that is how long ago it was. So, yeah, Paulin said after the match, one thing's for sure about my teams is that my teams compete, and they didn't today. They let themselves down, and they let the fans down, and they let the club down. That's absolutely true. Can't argue with that. It was just dreadful. But Paul Ince also has to take some responsibility for this away form. It, you know, he's been there for long enough now. This is not an accident.
Something needs to change. Something needs to change, right? You know, because like it only takes a small downturn in that home form, which if you're performing so poorly away from home, you know, there's no reason why that's not going to, you know, go into the home form. And that's why I say about, you know, that we just need to get, we need to make sure we get a few more wins on the board, you know, as quickly as possible, because otherwise you can start looking over your shoulder. And, you know, if you're conceding 2-3 goals every week, you know, it's not going to be long until you're going to be looking over your shoulder and a few wins for the teams at the bottom. And you're right back in it.
He talked about like us not being able to play possession football and how we're not good enough to do that, which is ultimately true. But he also talked about how we weren't good enough in the final third. We've very rarely went there, Paul. Very, very rarely ventured into that part of the pitch. So for us not be good enough in that area, I mean, if you don't go there, you can't actually be very bad there, can you?
Yeah. So I would have more said, you know, we weren't good in the final two thirds, to be honest, you know, because the midfield was
basically, yeah.
No, well, like, and it kind of comes back to what we were saying at the start about the midfield. You know, when you've got no creativity in that midfield, you know, when you're only playing two up top, you know, two strikers, two players to go forward, you know, you're setting yourself up really for a really difficult afternoon, because, you know, you're not going to get the ball to your front two enough to even try and get anything into, you know, the into the box. And like when you've only really got two attacking players, you know, none of your midfielders really want to go forwards that much. You know, like Hendricks, you know, he's not really that good going forward. Fauna neither. You know, Loom is a, you know, a defensive midfielder anyway, so he's not going to venture anywhere over halfway line. You know, so it's, yeah, like something, I'm sure it's what we've got in the squad at the moment, but, you know, like I think you've got to be starting with two strikes and then Ince behind, or, you know, bring Hoylett out of that wing back's position finally and move him further up the pitch, because we just need more in that final third and more options up there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to bring this to an end now, because obviously we've got a nice easy match next week where we're clearly going to win. It's only Manchester United away, who are in obviously ridiculously good form. So that will be fun in the FA Cup. I don't know how badly that's going to go. We will find out next Saturday evening.
Just don't get hammered, Reading. It's a really annoying tie now to have, because, you know, you've come off a 4-0 loss. You've come off as well before that, giving away two goals at home. If you lose 4-3-0 again away from home against Man United, and then you've got, I think, Watford at home after that, that's really not what you want to set yourself up for that. And then Sunderland away, it's like, it's a really actually tough run of fixtures that Reading have got. You know, just go put in a good performance. Hopefully if any of the players took their eye off, you know, Stoke yesterday with United in mind, bloody hell, you better be putting in a fantastic performance next week. You know, otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest, I'd much rather have seen them actually turn up yesterday than Manchester United, because really, it doesn't matter. I'd much rather have 3 points, which we didn't get anywhere near. Three shots would have been nice, but thanks a lot for listening. I really appreciate it. If you've enjoyed it and you enjoy it in any way, it was a tough one today, wasn't it? Give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify. We will be back with a preview of that dreaded game against Manchester United during the week. Cheers.